Before we start this show, I'd like to acknowledge and send condolences to the family of Mike Rubin, who was the Bally Sports Florida director and was in a lot of different roles at the company at Bally Sports Florida. He passed away at the age of 68. My guest, Jess Blaylock, proud to call my friend, has said he was there from day one. He always wanted to put on the best broadcast and was always making sure we were all a part of that. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Mike Rubin, and we hope that you enjoy this edition of the Tom Green Podcast, a Red Wings and Panthers preview. Welcome to another edition of the Tom Green Podcast. As I was talking about this past Thursday late evening, the Red Wings had a three-game gauntlet stretch that was kind of the measuring stick, as I kind of called it, at the Bruins, at the Islanders, and home to the Panthers. So far, the Wings have split those two games, getting the extra point against the Islanders in overtime just last night. Of course, the third game of this three-game gauntlet stretch is at home against the Panthers. Unfortunately, because of day job stuff, i.e. volleyball district finals, I will actually not be able to make the game. But I have a friend of mine that was so grateful to join us for a little bit to talk about the game. She is Bally Sports Florida's Jessica Blaylock, known as, to some people, of course, on Twitter a few days ago, as the Beyonce of sportscasting, so I'm glad to have her on the show. With Lemon, as she is resting on Jess's left elbow there, left wrist there. Welcome to the show. I'm glad that we have been able to catch up. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. And just to clarify, I did not give myself that nickname. My friend Katie did. So my friend Katie, to joke around and say that I'm the Beyonce of sports reporting. It's her being very wonderful and very nice and very encouraging. So I by no means consider myself even remotely close to the level of Beyonce, but in my friend Katie's eyes, I am. So thank you, Katie, for thinking of me like that. But just wanted to clarify that I did not give myself a nickname.
good deal. So thank you very much, Katie. The Beyonce of sportscasting is with us. So without further ado, we'll start from the top. Last night, the Panthers visited a hostile territory that they were able to find a lot of success in, and that was Boston. Unfortunately, did not go the way of the Panthers last night, but Barkov and Ryan Hart found the back of the net in the first period, and unfortunately, that was about it. So first of all, tell me about how the Panthers have fared this season. 4-3-1, so early stretch, but 500 is not totally bad.
Well, and especially when you're playing without two of your top defensemen in Brandon Montour and Aaron Ekblad, who have been dealing with injuries to start the season. On top of not playing with Sam Bennett, who is, such an important part of the equation. So to be missing three key players and to still be hanging right in there, I think is very admirable. Ekblad and Montour are a key part of what they do at even strength. They're a key part of the power play. They're a key part of the penalty kill. The Florida Panthers last season had the second most goals in the league by defensemen after only Carolina. So, missing those two pieces is just, it's a monster hole that you have to fill. And then missing Bennett, who did come back last night only to get hurt again, which was devastating. It was the first game that he had played all season last night and then ends up getting hurt. He brings so much physicality. He plays so well on that second line with a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who feeds really well off of Bennett. So the injuries that you have to start the season are really, really significant injuries. And so for the Florida Panthers to be sitting at 4-3-1 and then factor in mixing in 8-9 new skaters, I think they've they've done a tremendous job to start this season considering what they've been up against.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, let's face it, I mean, I'm kind of circling back to April, but in that series against Boston, they had nothing to lose. In fact, I will be completely honest with you, I hardly ever pick sweeps. I picked the Bruins to sweep the Panthers. And look at the Panthers, they made it all the way to the Cup Finals. I mean, they had nothing to lose, and they played like it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of one of the benefits of going in and being the underdog is all the pressure is on, you know, in that series, all the pressure was on Boston. They were coming off of this, one of the greatest, if not the greatest historically regular seasons that an NHL team has ever had. Meanwhile, the Panthers just got into the playoffs as a wild card team, and had Pittsburgh not lost to Chicago at the end of the season, you know, it would have all come down to whether or not they would have won that final game against Carolina to even be able to get into the playoffs. So I understand why a lot of people picked Boston and picked Boston to win it in 4, 5, 6 games, maybe. But the Panthers showed that anything can happen when you get in. And Bobrovsky was amazing. Tkachuk was amazing. Verhaeghe was amazing. Montour was amazing. I mean, you go up and down the list. Every player stood up and, or, you know, stepped yeah. up in some shape or form, and found a way to go on a magical playoff run. So, I think it's just the ultimate definition of don't count any team out that gets in, because really anything can happen in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And another game that I have to point towards at the end of that last season was Red Wings in Pittsburgh during the high school spring break up here, which was towards the end of March. And when Florida was, I still believe, down 10 points, if I'm not mistaken, and Pittsburgh still had an advantage, but they lost that regulation game to Detroit. And in my opinion, that's kind of when the dominoes started to fall for Pittsburgh, and the dominoes started to line up for Florida. So I think it was another game that we haven't outlined yet very much that also helped Florida make it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were keeping an eye, Panther fans, we were keeping an eye, especially on Pittsburgh, because it was one of the teams that we were chasing. But a lot of teams that when we were, 10 points out or 9 or 13 or what, I mean, from January on, the Panthers pretty much had to play almost winning 85% of their games. I think it was something crazy that they had to do in the second half of the season to get into the playoffs. But yeah, it wasn't just about what the Panthers did. They certainly got a little bit of help along the way as well. So Panther fans, I'm sure, looking back, really appreciate Detroit being able to beat Pittsburgh in that game.
Absolutely. And it's not just one game. Of course, it's a stretch down the season, which that's why this is more of a shorter preview, because it's not just this one game. It's more of a stretch down the season. So I'll talk a little bit about my Detroit Red Wings, and that was last night. They were able to edge an overtime win over the New York Islanders. Daniel Sprong, Jake Walman, JT Compher, and Lucas Raymond were able to get the goals for Detroit. Raymond in overtime, and some impact players on Detroit so far this year have been three guys really that you would expect to hear. Alex DeBrincat, who was traded from Ottawa over last year, 13 points, 9 goals, leads the goal-scoring tally. Dylan Larkin, 15 points, 11 assists. Mo Sider on the defense, 9 assists. And Shane Gostisbehere has really stepped up his game over the last week and a half with 9 points and 6 assists. So some guys that you really haven't heard on the scoreboard helping last night, but some guys that you've heard over the past couple of weeks over the course of the season has really helped them. So before we talk about this game, tell me kind of the outside, or how much have you seen of Detroit so far this year, if any?
So, unfortunately, the Red Wings play on a lot of the same nights as the Florida Panthers. So I haven't really had the chance to watch much Red Wings hockey at all, only because I've been working Panthers hockey on the same nights. But obviously, we all know what Dylan Larkin's capable of. I mean, we've watched it for a while now. I remember Alex DeBrincat, even when he was back with Chicago, just his, you know, prolific offensive attack. Mo Sider, you know, there's been a lot of talk, I know, in recent years about, I think it was last season maybe, that kind of a slow start for him, and maybe he's just kind of caught fire a little bit more and is a key part of what the Red Wings want to do. I haven't really obviously had a chance to hardcore scout the Red Wings, and I'm also not working game tomorrow. I'm just going to watch as a fan. So it's not like I need to do a lot of major prep work for it or anything. I'm just sure. Enjoying it. But I know the Red Wings have gotten off to a really encouraging start. And I know that they are one of the teams that, even when you looked at last season, you knew that they could make some noise this year. That's the thing, right? The beast, and the Atlantic Division in particular, is brutal. So there are a ton of teams that could be playoff teams. It's going to be a long dogfight of a season for all of these teams trying to secure a playoff spot. So I'm expecting a good one tomorrow between the Panthers and the Red Wings.
Absolutely. And I was telling people after the opening night of the season, everybody was freaking out over Twitter, and I'm like, let's not overreact to one game against a team that has made it past the first round of the playoffs. It's hard to get in the playoffs. The next step is that first round, and the Devils did that. So let's not overreact here. Pull off a 5-game winning streak, then lose to Seattle and Winnipeg and then Boston. It's like, well, here's the measuring stick. But hey, Detroit got over that first game jitters, if you want to call it that, and now we're moving forward. So nonetheless, looking forward to Thursday night and moving forward, impact players that will make a difference at Little Caesars Arena Thursday night.
For the Panthers, yes. Obviously, their captain, Alexander Barkov, especially not just what he does offensively, but I think one of the best two-way forwards in the league. There's a reason he's won a Selke. So I always, when you're pointing to impact players, have to say, you know, number 16 without a doubt. And what Matthew Tkachuk did last year, you know, 109 points on the year, a new career high. He just scored his first goal the other night against the Seattle Kraken. And, you know, when you get that first one, they say they kind of come in bunches after that. So I would say Matthew Tkachuk, obviously. And then I think, you know, depth scoring is so important in the league now, especially when your top lines are so focused on shutting down each other offensively. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an Anton Lundell or an Etu Luostarinen or a Nick Cousins or a Ryan Lomberg or something like that step up and have a big game in some way, shape, or form. And then, of course, you know, you got to give a shout out to Sam Reinhart, who has 8 goals on the season now after scoring the other night in Boston. So he is off to just a tremendous start to the year. So Sam Reinhart is definitely a player that the Red Wings are going to want to keep an eye on, considering how many goals he's already scored to start this season.
Good deal. So, of course, on my side on Detroit, DeBrincat has gone to an amazing start. I mean, 9 goals in your first first 10 games here, excuse me. Averaging a goal a game, just about a goal a game. That's a great pace. It can't quite be duplicated throughout the entire season, but that's something to definitely be watch. Gostis Bjerre on defense has stepped up his game in the past week. Definitely watch for him. And Daniel Sprong, Lucas Raymond. I mean, Lucas Raymond has been getting a lot of shots on goal in the past few games. He found the back of the net to win the game in overtime. Watch for him. And, of course, Sprong on the right wing. 7 points, 4 assists, and 3 goals. So there's 4 guys that you're probably going to be wanting to watch for on the Red Wings side. So, of course, as always, we'll give a shout-out to Katie Engelson. Hopefully I'll be talking with her at some point later in the season. One of Jess's great friends and reporters as well in the business. Of course, another question I got for you is those that are listening at Saginaw Valley State. I'm doing a class at Saginaw Valley State talking about podcasting. Tell me a few tips and tricks that you have for those students that I'll be speaking to next week. Oh, God, they're speaking with Tom? Yep, you're hearing from me.
Let's see. I've always just been a guest on podcasts. I've never done my own podcast. So I don't know if I'm the best person to give advice on how to do a good podcast because I've never done one before. But I would say if I had to guess what I would kind of shoot for is, you know, podcasts are supposed to be fun. So keeping it conversational, throwing in some fun topics, in addition to the X's and O's and the scouting reports and all of that, not only about who I'm interviewing to get to know them a little bit better, but also, you know, asking some fun questions about the team that they may cover to kind of get to know the team from a personal side a little bit better. So I would think that's the biggest thing is have fun, have a conversation, and mix in personality as much as you can with the X's and O's and the on the field stuff too.
Absolutely. Great to hear from you there. And because this is more of a quick hitter show, I know that your time is limited. So I guess I'll ask the Fane final question. Anything else that you have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast, Red Wings Panthers preview this time around?
Yeah, just the fact that two of the hottest goal scorers to start the season are going to be featured in this matchup in DeBrincat and Reinhardt. So if nothing else, that is a wonderful, wonderful reason to tune in right there is to see whether DeBrincat or whether Reinhardt will outduel the other. So something that I'm certainly going to be keeping my eye on when I watch this game.
There we go. And for those that are watching on video, we got to say hi to Lemon one more time. Hi, Lemon.
Hi. Lemon's for having me on.
Yeah, there she is. Yep. Oh, yes. Love seeing that on your IG, Twitter feed and all that and whatnot. So great to have you on the show. She is Jess Boylock. I call her mi amiga, one of my friends here at the on the big stage. And this has been the Tom Green Podcast. Thank you.